Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Dr. Matt and Dr. Mike's A to Z of the Human Body. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Todorovich, joined by Dr. Matthew Barton. Matty.
Go for it.
Okay. Good to hear. I'm well, thank you.
It's a short form, Michael.
Oh, that's right. All right. Well,
not you, the episode.
Right. See, you knew that. Yeah, you son of a... Amygdala. That's the topic for today. Amygdala. Do you have any idea what the amygdala is, Matt? That's a no. So I'll begin.
Emotions,
yeah. Yeah. It plays a role in emotions.
Memory.
Yeah, that too.
Emotional memory.
Nice. So three things out from two.
I know a lot of people think it's associated with anger, right?
They do.
Aggression.
And I think that there is some, but not – maybe the evidence might be changing with that. But okay. Let's get there. So let's first start with the etymology, as we like to do. Amygdala, Greek for almond.
Like the nut.
Well, not like the nut, the nut. Okay. Almond the nut. Yeah, because it has that almond shape to it. So that's the first thing about the amygdala.
You don't smell almonds when this is activated.
I don't think so. Okay. I think you'd probably have to do some aspect of the sensory cortex or insula. But anyway, it lies in what we call the temporal lobe.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take your brain and you have a look at the cortex, which is the outer 3 to 5 millimeters of your cerebrum, the bulk of your brain, it's separated into various cortexes, which we call cortices, cortexes, also known as lobes. And so at the front, you've got the frontal lobe. At the back, you've got the occipital lobe. Just behind the frontal lobe and between the occipital lobe, you've got the parietal lobe. And then either side, sort of near your ears, you've got the temporal lobe near your temples.
Near your headphones.
Near the headphones, yes. That's where Matt's looking. Listener might be listening in their, what are these called? Bucket headphones?
Over ear.
Over ear, yep. The amygdala lies in the temporal lobe, just under an area called the uncus. Do you know what the uncus is? Do you remember? You would have learnt about it, but do you remember what the...
No.
Okay. So the uncus is the innermost part of the temporal lobe that hooks in towards the deeper aspect of the temporal lobe. It's really hard to explain. If you Google amygdala, you'll see that it sits in the temporal lobe right at the very front of what we call the hippocampus. The hippocampus sort of looks like this C-shaped hook.
And the hippocampus is like... the seahorse, right?
Because of its look?
Yeah.
Yes. So sitting right at the front of that, that's where you're going to find
the head of the seahorse.
No, the tail at the bottom. Tail. Yeah, at the bottom. So that's the location. I know it doesn't really help, but it's a deeper structure within the temporal lobe. It's made up, it's quite complex, actually. So it's made up of 13 distinct nuclei. So these are groupings of cells.
Like cell bodies?
Cell bodies. And if you've got these groupings of, 13 distinct ones, it tells you, or it indicates at least, that it's going to do a number of different things. Mm. Each nuclei usually will synapse and speak to distinct areas of the brain. And so because there's 13 distinct nuclei, it tells you the amygdala probably is going to play multiple roles in which it does. So firstly, it is part of what we call the limbic system. And so when you hear limbic system, what do you think?
Again, I would say emotions.
Yeah, I would say the limbic system is the hub for emotion, the hub for behavior, and also the hub for memory, and also the interplay between those three things. But also contributes to other things like attention and sexual instincts and stress as well.
Okay.
So the limbic system, think emotion, behavior, memory. Now, it comprises, the limbic system that is, a set of more complex structures, which include but aren't limited to the limbic cortex, the cingulate gyrus, the parahippocampal gyrus, the hippocampal formation or the hippocampus itself, the dentate gyrus, the hypothalamus, and the amygdala. So all of these distinct structures work together in the limbic system to help control or understand or contribute to emotion, behavior, and memory. So to just pull the amygdala out and say, what does it do, is really hard, right? Yeah, yeah. So what we do know is it's important for emotional processing, and it's been implicated in things like depression and anger. And so a lot of people have said that it plays a role in fear as well and panic. But I read a paper that individuals who have bilateral amygdala damage, so both of their amygdala, what would be the plural of amygdala?
I'm not even going to attempt.
Okay. So I wouldn't have, I don't know either, to be honest. Probably amygdala, like fish. Plural of fish is fish. Unless you talk about multiple species, then it's fishes. Anyway.
That's right, yeah.
So people with bilateral amygdala damage, so both are damaged, can still experience fear and panic, which makes you think that if the amygdala was central to fear and panic, that they would probably have a depressed presentation or experience of fear and panic, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Can you have fear and, let's just say fear, can you have fear without memory?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably, because I think you can have an instinctive fear. So
like what?
What they did in this study where they had the individuals with bilateral amygdala damage is they exposed them to, I think it was 25 or 35% carbon dioxide. And that induces fear and panic.
Oh, just as in like as those levels go up,
You
just have that sensation come on.
The emotion that you experience is fear and panic.
So that's almost reflexive in the sense that somewhere else it's processing this phenomenon.
Exactly.
And your response to it is, I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
Opposed to consciously going, oh, this CO2 is not good.
Yeah. And there's people who have anxiety disorders who will experience fear and panic without any known or conscious cause as well. So I would say, yeah, probably without memory you can experience those things. So,
but a lot of them probably would, right? Where you need to have learnt experiences of something deleterious or negative that the amygdala would play a role in.
So you say amygdala, like Princess Amygdala from Star Wars. That's Princess Amidala, but that's okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So you say amygdala, I say amygdala.
Amygdala. Yeah.
Listeners, send us
an email. I think you're right.
No, I'd like the listeners to send us an email and tell us how they would pronounce.
It's been a while since I've done your anatomy, to be honest.
I can tell.
Yeah.
All right, so when primary emotions, do you know what a primary emotion is? I learned this. I didn't know this. But what a primary emotion would be as defined?
Non-mixed, like a primary color.
Well, in a way it is, because it is one of those very distinct standalone emotions that we tend to experience, from the first 6 months of life, basically. So anger, fear, joy, sadness, disgust, and surprise, they're all innate, expressed in the first 6 months of life.
So that's what it's based on?
Yeah. And generally, they're associated with very specific facial expressions.
Yeah.
Each one of those.
I see that emotions. With my daughter now, who's 9 months.
Anger.
And
often.
Yeah, but it's just like she'll
she knows who her father is.
She'll
yeah. like, God damn it.
She'll look at your face.
And vomit.
To try to gauge the situation.
Right.
So, like, when something is done, when she does something that is maybe uncertain, she'll look for your facial
yeah.
response to it. And if you change maybe your facial expression may change her reaction to what she's done.
That's interesting.
But at the moment, like, she's got zero fear for really anything. I mean, besides, you know, mum not being in the room or something.
Yeah.
But she'll go over, which is very much different to Zarina. She'll go over and just start chewing a power cord.
Right.
Right.
So she's
or just
copying
eat,
you.
Or eat, I've or in, eat, I've eat anything. I've
your office at lunchtime and I've seen you chewing on a power cord.
That was actually a...
It's a bowl of sardines and a power cord.
That was a licorice rope.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. My bad. So when...
But she'll put anything in her mouth. Like just pick up... Like the other day she just ate a dried out skink.
Why'd you feed her that? That's not nice. So these primary emotions, right? So when primary emotions like anger, fear, joy, sadness, disgust, and surprise, when they occur in a certain context, they automatically provoke an innate response, right? And this response occurs in two stages. So first, a specific feeling that either has a positive or pleasant or a negative unpleasant, what they call valence or association, right? And second, as a separate process, what they call somatic markers will help select the best possible response, right? So that is the behavior among all the possible options at the time. Does that make sense? Mm. So firstly, when you experience one of these primary emotions, the first thing is you have either a negative or positive association with it.
Okay.
And then the second is you start to choose the appropriate behavior for that emotion. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. You're nodding, but your eyes are vacant.
Absent seizure.
Right. So the reason why I've said that is that these two-stage automatic responses, they're basically controlled by the amygdala. Right? And the amygdala helps figure out or mature what the right response is before it sends it to the frontal lobe.
Okay.
Because remember, the frontal lobe, we always think of the prefrontal cortex and the frontal lobe as being really important when it comes to behavior, particularly social control, decision making, and so forth. I think we've done a podcast and we spoke about Phineas Gage, right? The railway worker from the 1800s. Was around an explosion and then a railway spike went through his frontal lobe.
Mm.
He survived, but his behavior was totally changed.
Mm.
And he couldn't control his behaviors, particularly within a social context. So the prefrontal cortex is really important for that. But now we know is that what's really important is the conversation between the prefrontal cortex and the amygdala. And we know it's important because it's this conversation or this circuit that goes back and forth, right? It's conserved not just in humans but also in primates and rodents as well, right? So this bidirectional conversation allows goal-directed behaviors based on affective and reward information. So emotional and what the individual believes is the best thing to do in that situation. This means that dopamine must play a role, which tells us that the amygdala does actually speak to multiple dopamine-producing or dopaminergic neurons or circuits. Does that make sense?
It does. It's so complex, isn't it?
Excuse me. It is complex, and it took me a long time just to figure out that short part. So I'm going to finish off here for you, Matt. Historically, we knew that the prefrontal cortex is usually involved in mainly, you know, elaborating and regulating the basic emotional processes that are arising from subcortical regions, so lower order regions. So we're only aware of something when it hits the cortex, right? So that's the outer 3 to 5 millimeters. We're only aware, we personally as people are only aware when it hits that area of the brain. But the sensations and feelings and processing all can happen at lower, what we call subcortical regions. And they arise up to the cortex for us to not just consciously experience them, but also make sense of them. So they can arise at the brainstem and these other subcortical regions. So the prefrontal cortex, we know, is really important in regulating basic emotional processes that arise from those lower regions, okay? And dysfunction of the prefrontal cortex has been implicated in a whole bunch of, you know, what we call affective, or in a way, it isn't emotional. Affective is a bit more than emotional, but affective disorders like major depressive disorder, right? So dysfunction of the prefrontal cortex can result in that. But what we now know is that because of the connection between the prefrontal cortex and the amygdala, that the amygdala is also a major player in major depressive disorders. And so now what scientists are doing is trying to identify ways to modulate not just the prefrontal cortex, but the amygdala pharmacologically.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
To help. So drug targets of the amygdala that can help treat disorders like major depressive disorders. And I think I've hit my time limit, Matt.
Okay. Well, I had a dozen questions, but I'll just park them for next time.
Do you have one? We've got time for one.
So have they done... What about just, you know, stimulation of this region of the brain for these conditions?
That's a good question. I don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
I unfortunately, for a 14 to 15 minute
it's hard.
A to Z, it's hard to
As
delve
you can see, it's probably many needs hours into its literature. Own long form podcast, really, doesn't it?
I think we should, because I found this quite interesting.
That wasn't a suggestion.
No,
that
we're going to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the beginning of a beautiful long form episode.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.